out in the book of Psalms, chapter 3, verse 1, he said, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessings is upon thy people. Selah. Father, we ask your blessings. The reading of thy word, for it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, as we come here to Psalms chapter 3, this psalm is considered, of course, it is a psalm of David, but it is considered a psalm of David as he fled from Absalom, his son. The historical background to the psalm is described in 2 Samuel chapter 15, 16, and 17. Now, as one had put it, this is, of course, is a loose quote. They said, the smiting of God's hand produces songs, and the smiting is proof that God was at work in his soul. And as we come to this chapter, we find, again, David basically fleeing for his life. We find David that had to leave the throne and run for his life. And as we come into this psalm, we find, as we see in other psalms, that David had plenty of foes. He had plenty of enemies. But as we come into this psalm, we'll see that in verse 1 and 2, David's trial. In verses 3 and 4, we see David's trust in the Lord. Then verses 5 through 8, we see David's trial. And it's a wonderful psalm. Chapter 3 and chapter 4 is considered by many to have the same historical background, which again, when David flees for his life and leaves the throne of Israel. Now please notice with me in verse 1 and in verse 2, of this chapter again, he said, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Now, the Bible again, 2 Samuel, I'm going to give you some references that you can go and look at. But you're going to find that in 2 Samuel 15 and verse 6, and especially verses 13 through 17, that David at that time was a heartbroken father. His favored son has seized the throne. And then in 2 Samuel chapter 16, verses 5 through 8, we find that David is shamed. I challenge you to read those verses and those chapters and consider them. Again, as I've already said, the historical background to this psalm, and probably Psalms chapter 4 as well, is described in three chapters, that is 2 Samuel 15, 16, and 17. At least that is believed by many who have studied the Word of God over the years. Now, we find that without any doubt, troubles always come in flocks. And sorrow, as one man put it, sorrows hath a numerous family. We find that trials obviously come from heaven, temptations from hell, crosses from the earth. Even the Lord Jesus Christ, as he hang on the cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So we find that as we come to these chapters, this chapter in particular, and began considering David and David's life and David's trust in the Lord, David's enemies, David's foes, his problems, his enemies, those who wanted to take David's life, those who wanted to destroy him, we see how that the David turns unto the Lord God. In verse 1 he said, "Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me." And again, as I said a moment ago, David has plenty of enemies. And then in verse 2, "Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God." Selah. Now let me take this little word here that's used in this chapter three times, here in verse 2, verses 4 and verse 8, the word Selah. This is the first of 74 occurrences in the Bible. 71 of these are in the Psalms, and I believe there's three times in the book of Habakkuk. Now, it seems, this word seems to suggest a pause for meditation to the reader. In other words, it's a rest. It's a note of observation. The precise meaning, obviously, is not known. Some believe it is a musical pause. But whatever the case, it seems to suggest a pause for meditation to the reader or to the singer. In other words, time to just stop, to rest, to think, to meditate upon what has been read before this or what might be read after this. In other words, it's a time to just pause and meditate upon the Word of God. And again, this word, this is the first occurrence in the Bible, and it is used many other times, I believe 71 times in the book of Psalms alone. So we find here that in verse 2, he says, "Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God." There are those who are saying to David that he has no help, and that God is not going to help him in his time of troubles. But I want you to notice with me as we come to verse 3 and verse 4, that he said in verse 3, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head." David, in these verses, and in verse 4, verse 3 and 4, verse 4 says, "I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill." David, in these verses, verses 3 and 4, vows his confidence in God. His assurance is in the covenant of God, based upon the Word of God. Not on his trust is not based, or his assurance or his confidence is not based upon feeling or circumstances. I want you to understand that God had pledged to David the throne. And David, even though he is fleeing for his life, is not on the throne at this time. David knew, based upon God's promises, that the throne was his. He knew that he would get the throne back again. And you know, there's many times in the Word of God that God has made promises to certain individuals. For instance, in Genesis 15, verses 1 and 2, Genesis 17, verses 1 and 2, we find that God had made promises to Abraham. And Abraham, according to Galatians 3 and 4, and according to Romans chapter 4, Abraham had put his trust in the Lord. Abraham had turned unto the Lord and put his confidence and trust in the Lord because he knew that what God had said would be carried out. And so David, as Abraham, had put his confidence and trust in the Lord. He vows his confidence in God Almighty. His assurance are in the promises of God. His assurance is in the covenant of God, again, based upon the Word of God. What God has said in His Word, we can trust, we can believe. What God has said in His Word will come to pass. We cannot trust in our feelings or in our circumstances. In other words, if we understand this psalm and also Psalms 4 correctly, and if it is associated with the time that David is fleeing for his life, and that David is no longer on the throne as God had given him, you know, David could not trust in his feelings. He would fail tremendously. David could not trust in the circumstances in his life. If David trusted in the circumstances, David would have to say that, I'm not on the throne. I am fleeing for my life. I'm sleeping in caves. My life is being threatened day after day. And still yet, David, as we read this, look at verse 3 again, "But Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice," rather, "and He heard me out of His holy hill." So David did not turn to feelings and circumstances that he could see or that was around him, but David trusted in the Lord. God had pledged to David the throne, and he knew that he would get the throne back because God had given him that throne. So David trusted in the Lord. David said that the Lord was his shield. I challenge you to write down Ephesians 6 and in verse 16. As a matter of fact, the context of Ephesians 6, verses 11 through 18, is putting on the whole armor of God. We find that a shield protects us from the fiery darts of the devil. And David is saying here in this passage that the Lord was his shield. He's saying that even though that he is fleeing for his life at this present time, David is saying that the Lord would protect him, that the Lord is protecting him. Then I want you to notice that he not only says that the Lord was his shield, but he also says that the Lord was his glory. I believe that David knew that he would return to the throne in triumph. You know, when we think about this, there's verses in the Scriptures that talk about the glory of God. Romans 5, verses 1 through 4. And then in Romans 8, in verse 28 through 30, you read Romans 8 very closely. It's a fascinating passage. I do want to turn there and read that. In Romans chapter 8, we find that in verse 28, he said, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." Verse 30. He said, "Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified." Well, we find here that in the passage that we are already considered as glorified. Notice we're not only called, we're not only predestinated in verse 29 and 30. Not only are we justified here in this passage, but he said that we're already glorified. Now, sometimes I don't feel glorified, and I'm sure that I don't look like I'm glorified, but I want you to notice with me that he says here in this passage that God considers us as already being glorified. That's a fascinating doctrine, the doctrine of glorification. I challenge you to look at it and consider the Word, consider the doctrine. It is a doctrine in the Bible. So we are already considered as glorified. Well, David said in Psalms 3, in verse 3, he said, "But Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head." So David is saying that the Lord was his glory. You and I can say that the Lord is our glory and that we are glorified. But he also says in this passage, he says here in verse 3, he says, and the lifter up of mine head. I challenge you to write down Psalms 27, verses 5 and in verse 6. And I do challenge you to write these verses down. You will need them if you're going to serve the Lord and walk with Him. You will need these verses. In that chapter in Psalms 27, verses 5 and 6, he says, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. So we find here that David is basically saying, as he is fleeing from his enemies, he's basically saying that the Lord will lift me up. He will lift me up above mine enemies. And we can honestly say that today, that we that are saved, that love the Lord, that even though we have many enemies, it is plain and clear in the Scriptures that we will be lifted up above our enemies. Now, I want you to notice with me that in verse 4, he said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Well, David did not just talk about a little devotion here. David cried unto the Lord. Then in verse 5 and 6, he says in verse 5 and 6, he said, I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Now, you've got to think about the context, if we understand the context correctly. You've got to think about the context of the passage. Here David is fleeing for his life, probably sleeping in the wilderness or in the caves or dens, and his enemies are trying to kill him. And I want you to notice that David is saying, I laid me down and slept. And he says, I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. And then he tells us, in verse 6, he said he would not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. As I said before, David had plenty of enemies. And still yet, while David is away from the throne, being hunted like an animal, has many enemies that desire to kill him, David, we read in Samuel, as I mentioned a while ago, 2 Samuel 16, David is shamed, cursed by one man in particular. And still yet, David not only says that the Lord is my shield, he's my glory, he's the lifter up of my head, but David said that he's able to lay down and get a good night's sleep. Now, how in the world can a man sleeping in the wilderness and a man being hunted down like an animal, how can this man lay down and sleep? Well, only his faith could cause him to lie down in peace. Only his faith. Now think about that. One fellow said, night has its special dangers, and only faith can rest the soul. Anxiety would not keep him awake. This is a sleep of holy confidence. David was not taking pills, nor was he lying at night gritting his teeth. David was a man that yes, he had his problems. David was a sinner saved by the grace of God. David had enemies. And still yet, David was able to lie down while hunted as an animal, while his enemies hated him, and he was able to get some sleep. In Psalms 4, verse 8, it says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for Thou, Lord, only maketh me dwell in safety. I challenge you to take Leviticus 26 and verse 6, and Proverbs 3 and in verse 24. And there's many other passages that basically describe the same thing. Leviticus 25:18, Deuteronomy 12:10, John 14:27, and Philippians 4:7. We find that these passages show us that only in the Lord can we have peace. Only in the Lord do we have safety. And how is it in the troubled world in which we live? The trials and the tribulations and the temptations and the storms of life. How is it that an individual today can lay down and sleep at night? You do realize that if you don't get enough sleep, you know your days are just not well. And if a person is sick, one of the best things for them is being able to sleep. There's a lot of healing that takes place as we rest and as we sleep. As we just suffered through another storm here on the Gulf Coast, usually I guess because working so much trying to prepare for it, I end up sleeping through the storms. Well, David was able to lay down and sleep while being pursued by his enemy. Again, I challenge you, especially Leviticus 26 and verse 6 and Proverbs 3 and verse 24. And, of course, there's many other passages throughout the Word of God. But again, we don't need to be taking the sleeping pills to sleep. Many people are bothered about many things. And we need rest for our soul. And David is not talking about just being worn out. He's talking about being able to lay down and sleep and enjoy that sleep. And so we find that David is saying here in verse 5, again, a wonderful passage. He said, I laid me down and slept. I waked, for the Lord sustained me. Well, he not only was able to lay down and sleep, but he was able to wake up refreshed and be able to begin another day of labor or work because it was the Lord who gave him his sleep. It was the Lord who protected him during his sleep. It is the Lord who woke him up and refreshed him and allowed him to begin a new day. Here is what we need to consider. Ladies and gentlemen, saints of God, we need to consider the sleep that God can give a weary soul. We need to consider the sleep that God can give to His saints. Well, He said in verse 5, I laid me down and slept. I waked, for the Lord sustained me. Then He said in verse 6, He said, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Many times we fear our enemies. We fear those who are out to get us. We fear those who are around us. But David said, I'm going to sleep. David said, I'm going to rest. And he said, I'm not going to fear. And by the way, he talked about 10,000s of people. David had many enemies. At one time, Saul had rallied people against David, and then Absalom had rallied people against David, and then not only that, David just had enemies, fought many battles from the Philistines and different nations around the children of Israel. So David knew what it was like to have enemies that were out to get him. But he wasn't filled with anxiety. Again, this is the sleep of a holy confidence in God. And David said, well, I've got these enemies, but I'm going to put my trust in the Lord. Then in verse 7 and 8, he said in verse 7 and 8, he said, arise, O Lord, save me. O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. The blessing is upon thy people. Selah. Again, he's saying, pause, rest, meditate, think, consider the things of the Lord. I sat down here recently with an individual that professes Christ Jesus as their Lord, and they're going through trials and tribulations, going through many troubles. And they said the enemy, that is their enemy at this particular time, they said the enemy is out to destroy us. That is me and my family, they said. And they said, we fear that this enemy is going to destroy us. And I talked to them about putting their confidence, trust in the Lord. And they told me who the enemy was. And I said, the Lord is much bigger than your enemy. And we talked about that, talked about some verses. Well, David is saying in verse 7, he said, arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. David saw the victory that God had given him in destroying his enemies. And then David said in verse 8, he said, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Two verses I challenge you to write down, and please consider them. One is in Hosea 13 and verse 4, in reference to the fact that salvation is of the Lord. By the way, there is salvation nowhere else, only in the Lord God. There is, you can't save yourself. Not only can you not save yourself from hell, but you can't even save yourself from your enemies. And so he's saying that salvation is of the Lord. And then the other passage is in Jonah 2 and in verse 9. Jonah came to the place and realized that only in the Lord is there salvation. When Jonah was in the whale's belly, he cried out. The entire chapter in Jonah chapter 2 is dealing with him crying out unto a holy and righteous God. And God delivered Jonah. But he cried out of the whale's belly, the fish's belly, he cried out unto God. And he wanted deliverance. And he, Jonah, said that salvation is of the Lord. There is no salvation outside of the Lord God. I mean, there just isn't any. Or you can't be saved physically from your enemies outside of the Lord. Only the Lord can save you. And let me say this, you cannot be saved spiritually. In other words, you cannot have eternal life outside of the Lord. There's not enough works that we can do that will merit our entering in to God's holy kingdom, the kingdom of God. There's not. David cries in verse 8, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. And he said, thy blessing is upon thy people. David had experienced many problems and heartaches. Some of it was his own doings. And some of it was just the doings of others. And still yet, through all of David's temptations and trials and tribulations, David knew where salvation was at. David knew where to go. It's one thing about David. He was a man after God's own heart, according to Acts chapter 7. So David, in his trials and tribulations, he knew that he could not trust himself. He knew that he could not lean upon the arm of the flesh. David knew where to go. And I hope and trust today, this evening, that you as a believer, that you know where to go. Because life is filled with complications and tribulation and trials and problems and difficulties. And you may end up in many circumstances that you can't get yourself out of, many problems. And still yet, you need to know where to go. David knew where to go. Well, God bless you.